your Bibles with me to Matthew 5, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 38. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 38. First book of the New Testament, Matthew 5, beginning at verse 38. Listen carefully to God's holy word. It says, "Heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." So far from God's holy word. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior came preaching repentance. Repent and believe is the short summary. It's good to remember the short summary of the gospel. Repent and believe. He came preaching repentance, and in this particular case, the Sermon on the Mount, he explained believing as though, and quite actually, he were personally delivering the knowledge of the kingdom of God to us. Things that you've never seen, things that you couldn't know about God, coming and bringing to you the knowledge of God's ways and the knowledge of where believing and where faith in God will lead. So Jesus gives us his first knowledge of what lives and what brings us to the kingdom of God. The Sermon on the Mount then is that firsthand explanation that prepares us, prepares your heart and my heart to prepare for the arrival of that kingdom. And we always have to ask ourselves as we think about the story, am I prepared for the kingdom of God? And am I prepared to show it in the ways that Jesus is describing here in this sermon? Have you thought about the changes of heart, the changes of attitude, the changes of actions that are needed, that are necessary to enter the kingdom of God? And if they have not factored into any decision in this last week, have we understood at all what the law says, what the gospel says about God's kingdom and about his character? The Christian disciple will repent of their former patterns, and they will humble themselves, and they will adopt the attitudes and the actions and the mindset that Jesus calls blessed. That's how he opens this sermon we looked at last week. And you can read it at the beginning of chapter 5. They will adopt the mindset that Jesus describes and the things that he calls blessed, and they will begin to adopt the ways that he identifies as important, and those ways will become our ways and will demonstrate love for God and love for one another when we obey his commands and when we follow his teachings. We will show our grateful reaction. Will show our gratitude ways. So in his Sermon on the Mount, in this particular section, Jesus exposed the radical reach of God's law against personal retaliation and vengeance. That's primarily what we're reading here. The radical reach of God's law against personal retaliation and vengeance, and for that matter, towards love and generosity and compassion. An expression of the will of God for us in this world. We'll see that as we go along. It begins with that phrase that's sort of interesting. You've heard that it was said. He begins with the day's prevailing wisdom. In a matter of speaking, with gossip. You know, this is what you heard. And its particular twist and interpretation. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, what does he mean? Well, some of you may know he's quoting part of God's law in the Old Testament given to Moses. And by itself, that should be a good thing. But it's not quite that simple, or it's not quite that easy. There's a twist. It should be a good thing, and yet it's been turned, it's been shifted, it's been manipulated. And Jesus is showing that the people of his day, they have conveniently torn this command out of the paper. They have conveniently taken this command out of its proper place, and they have used it as God's backing for their personal actions of retaliation and revenge. They're using and abusing his principle. And it so happens that this is a problem and a problem in our day. And in fact, we've been highly entertained by this sort of twisting of God's command. For instance, some dark hero or some gangster in a movie, in that dramatic moment, you know, in TV or a movie, you know, they're like, an eye for an eye, and they jam their knife, and it looks so awesome into the table, and they have been wronged, something is wrong, and now they're going to make it right. How? With a very high body count. This is going to be the best movie ever because it's going to be so full of bullets, and they are going to right the wrong done against them. And so we're like, yeah, we settle in, you know, oh, this is going to be awesome because he's going to make it right. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So it is that just like the people of Jesus' day, we're going to defend our rights bitterly if necessary. And we're not going to take insults from anyone. And we're not going to be played for fools by anyone. And we're not going to, you know, to wring our hands and let someone take what belongs to us or what we deserve. Nobody's going to tarnish my reputation. That would be a show weakness. That would make me a dope. That would make me a loser and them the winner. And that's not going to happen. Well, what's the problem? The problem is that it's been called the lex talionis. Maybe you heard that before. The law of retaliation. The problem is that this law, which has that fancy name, the lex talionis, was not a green light for personal retaliation and vengeance. It was a principle by which the government, by which the judges, by which the rulers, the authorities of Israel were supposed to administer justice. Not only that, but it was given to provide proper restraint. It was given to provide a limit to which the law would go in a culture that usually got even plus one, if you know what I mean. In other words, a just judge would decide claims and damages between two parties, and he would give a punishment that matched the crime. Not a punishment that went way beyond, not one that went way less, but one that was fitted for each situation. So an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. There was supposed to be equality and a measure of balance in justice. So that, you know, we wouldn't have a case where people come and say, oh, he stole my ice cream. He deserves death! And we laugh about this, or we think this is funny, and yet we have not evaluated our own hearts. Before we laugh too hard, we need to consider the depth of the reach of the law of God about retaliation and what Jesus here is teaching. You've heard it was said, but we have a lot to learn, and this is what I want to teach you. The people had neutered God's law. They had blunted it in their hearts. They had twisted it in their hearts in such a way that they did not understand justice. They didn't understand justice unless they got to carry it out in their own way. So we have to ask ourselves, have you been wronged by someone in a small way? Let's start small. Have you been wronged by someone in a small way? Insulted by them? Made to feel less? A little hurt by them? And then proceeded to resent them for the rest of your days? From that day until this very day, maybe sitting here right now, not having been able to let it go, not having been able to reconcile, so that right up to this moment in the sight of God himself, we hold a grudge against someone, even for a small thing. I hate them for the rest of my days. And I'm not going to write them a nasty letter every day or now text them something nasty but I resent them forever. Imagine how that's a small hurt. And we're bent towards that kind of retaliation. It shows the nature of our sin. Have you ever been hurt by someone in a more significant way, a more painful way, a way that has substance? That's wrong, and it's clear that it's wrong. And then somewhere in your mind wished death on them? Is that an eye for an eye? That's more than plus one, isn't it? But we've done that too. Remember that even joking words and even thoughts, they have a root somewhere in our hearts. Jesus said, our heart is the fountain of every word. Our heart is where they came from. Fear, it came from there. It came from somewhere in your heart. Have you ever been hurt by someone in the heat of your reaction, harmed them worse than they harmed you and made your point very clear? We have to admit that in our hurts, we have gone way beyond getting even. And we have struck back against neighbors and co-workers and especially family members, our spouse, our children, our siblings and cousins and so on. We have struck back worse at them than anyone, because more of our heart could be hurt by them. And so the retaliation comes, and then some. We have bitterly blasted some of the people that are closest to us with retaliation and resentment. And at the time, we hope they would wither from it, just shriveling right there in front of us, or at least that's how we treated them. Or if not that, we harbored unspoken burning anger, gossiped, cut them off in whatever ways, whatever way we could undermine them. We would dig all night to undermine them. We would forego sleep. This is the kind of retaliation to which we are prone. And if we don't know it, then we won't be able to fight it. That's all revenge plus one. Isn't it? Plus 100. And are we doing this? How are we harboring such feelings today against anyone? Could we name them? If you desire God's kingdom, how will you repent? How will you repent? If you desire to enter God's kingdom, what will you do today to seek out peace and reconciliation? Maybe this is a complex question. That's why some of the things that Jesus mentions here, there's discussion for days and days on some of these. But maybe it is as simple as you need to drop hurts that are stale and old. Just drop them and stop and do it and minister to your own heart to repent of holding on to those things. Maybe it is that simple only because those hurts are so old and so stale that even to try to handle them again, they'll just fall apart. That's how brittle they are at this point. Maybe that, but maybe far more thoughtful work is required. And that takes wisdom and discipline and time and prayer. Being a peacemaker, like Jesus describes as blessed and sons of God, takes a whole new meaning when we are absolutely determined to pay the cost. Personally, I will pay the cost, without respect to whether they will. I will pay the cost because of Jesus to make reconciliation, to make peace. So after we admit that we have very often, we have like turned both keys simultaneously to do a full missile launch against those who hurt us, actions or punishments, against those who oppose us, harm us, insult, we have to be ready to repent not only of those times which are revenge plus, but also even when we have just sought equality for the sake of our pride, for the sake of getting what we deserve. We have to admit that we have gone beyond eye for eye, tooth for tooth in so many different ways in relationships. And for instance, this is why so many marriages are ailing and near to death. Why is there a forest fire? Why is unhappy marriage so? It's here in the midst of this. Why are so many marriages ailing and near to death? Because spouses play this game with each other on a personal, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Spouses punish one another in retaliation. One person feels wronged, so they withhold in equal measure, or they respond in equal measure. They don't help, so I won't help. They were mean, so I won't pay. They did this, so I'll... They hurt me, and I know just how to irritate them to make their lives miserable. They don't contribute, so... Is this your marriage? Stop it! is the beginning. That's the first. As much as it depends on you, we have to shut it down. And today, not tomorrow, not after you've won, not after you've made your point. Provoking God by treating your wife or husband like an enemy when God says they're your own flesh. And if we don't know how to apply this down the line, we're missing something. Love for God and love for neighbor. And you don't call your husband or wife neighbor. Hey, morning, neighbor. Love for God, love for neighbor, love for enemy is the next section. Provoking God by treating your wife or your husband like an enemy when they're your own flesh. Would we dare insult God? Insult our spouse? You know, we can cast, you know, all kinds of dirt on them and we'll get away clean. That's not reality. We can't win in any of these situations. We can't win against our spouse. We can't win when we retaliate and take vengeance. It brings harm, and it doesn't belong in the kingdom. That's a profound statement, isn't it? When we start to talk about these, they don't belong. Such persons who continue this, they don't belong in the kingdom of God. Place for that in his kingdom. There's no room for it. There's no home for it. We want a home in heaven. So, similar to retaliation against spouse, siblings, cousins, friends, we dishonor Jesus and his church when we have a retaliatory attitude, a vengeful attitude in the church. Again, the head, Jesus, and his body, all members partaking of the same communion, all members bought with the blood of Jesus, but if one of them should harm us, one of them should wrong us, we're ready to cut out the liver. We're ready to cut off a finger, cut off a hand, slice off the foot, bite off the ear. If we're the family of God, we will treat one another differently than we have done. We will love each other. We will seek to undo and to rebuild bridges. Why are we provoking God by bitter resistance to one another in the church? What gain is it? Why are we provoking God with hypersensitivity to correction, to change? Why are we provoking God and Jesus with our pride and our unwillingness to bear an insult and not retaliate? Often, of course, it escalates so quickly to the point where a person storms out of the church, never to be seen again. And there, you know, and we're always thinking, I'm going to shake the dust off my feet. Storming out of the church for good, and so we undercut even the possibility of reconciling and of honoring the Lord by enduring and bearing with one another as God bears with us. So we're learning something here about Jesus' ways. Those who are baptized in the name of Jesus, we're learning something about the kingdom of our Lord. I would invite you all to turn to page 9 in the back of your blue books. Page 9. Lord's Day 2 in the Heidelberg Catechism. We consider how Jesus teaches, how he pursues, how he applies the